Thane, good morning. Always appreciate your time.
Anytime for you, Chris. You know that.
Were you surprised at all by this non-guilty plea yesterday?
No, not really. I mean, I thought that there's a chance that he still might present evidence of mental impairment. But that's a little difficult to make in a case like this when he was so deliberate, you know, the note, the manifesto that he wrote, how organized he was. You know, it looks like a solid case of premeditated murder as opposed to something that looks like it's purely impulsive or was driven by some, you know, extreme emotional disturbance. This guy seemed pretty clear what he was doing. He said, look, you know, I'm in pain and I'm blaming the American healthcare system and I'm gonna go after this CEO. So I'm not surprised. I'm surprised that you've got two different cases going at you with very different legal theories. The federal case that's dealing with murder but also stalking, and the state case that deals with terrorism. And that's interesting, Chris, because those seem to be irreconcilable legal theories, right? Terrorism means that you intentionally try to strike fear, intimidation into the civilian public, or you try to scare the government to change their policy, right? And, you know, which is very, very different, you know, from something that is very specific against one individual as opposed to trying to make a message for the whole country.
So given that we have these two competing legal cases and the holiday season, what's the timeline on these cases and when they might go to trial?
So remember, Chris, you know, the Constitution guarantees a speedy trial, but sometimes, you know, you want to slow it down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So especially in a high-profile case, I wouldn't rush. So I would think that there will be a lot of different motions that are presented by his attorneys, including of which, how could I possibly get a fair trial for my client when the mayor of New York is hanging out with the perp walk, mm-hmm. and when he's doing press conferences and he's showing up and, you know, it looks political and it looks like this is going to be New York City and everyone up against my client. There's also this idea that he's becoming a folk hero. And, you know, we're starting to see if there is a continued connection of that. You know, that's another reason to slow it down. Why? Because, you know, the picking a jury in this case, right, all you have to say is, have you ever had a bad experience with an insurance company declining your benefits?
Mm.
And everyone has.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everyone has been in a position, you know, are you teed off at a corporate America? You know, in New York City, this is a blue city, very progressive. People are not unsympathetic to that. At the same time, this guy committed murder. So, you know, all of these things play into a very, very high-profile case, which I think will drag out longer than would ordinarily be the case.
Can you remember a case maybe that was this high-profile where there was so much sympathy for the alleged suspect?
Well, you're too young to know this, Chris. but I'm old enough to know the Bernard Goetz case, in the 1980s. There was a time, we're having now much more, as you may have been reading and seeing, subway violence.
Mm-hmm, yep.
But in the 1970s and 80s, when I was a young person, you know, you took your life in your hands when you went into the subway. And certainly at night, very few people did. It changed for decades. People forgot that it was a time you were afraid to go down there. And this one guy, who's called the subway vigilante, when six African-American kids approached him to try to shake him down, he shot them all. He shot another one twice. And, you know, this seemed like, wow, that was pretty deliberate. He brought a gun. You know, there was evidence that he was, you know, upset about crime. And he was acquitted.
Wow.
The jury was set up with crime. And even though it looked like, come on, this guy clearly intended to do this. In fact, one of the kid that he shot twice, he said, look, you look like you can need another one. You know, and the jury heard that's what he said. Hey, you look like you could use another one. So that's the only one I could think of. And, you know, a little of it, what happened with the Daniel Penny case a few weeks ago, because it had a little of the same problem. You know, if people are going to feel scared on the subway and if somebody's going to try to help out, we're not going to punish them.
CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum. Thane, always appreciate the time. Happy holidays and Happy New Year to you. Look forward to visiting again in 2025.
Same to you, buddy.
Bye. Thanks so much.